As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talk on a sermon to myself. Well, this was not an original idea. I got this out of George MacDonald's book, Annals of a Quiet Neighborhood, which is the story of a young Scottish preacher who does his best to learn to know the people of his little village and to share with them in their sorrows and their joys and to break down as many barriers as possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. But when he falls in love with a very beautiful woman who has already been betrothed to a very immoral man, he really doesn't know what to do. The woman knows nothing of his feelings. He has no access to her. But in the meantime, he has to continue his preaching and his visiting. And he has the same feelings that I have so often had myself. Is it right for me to get up in front of this audience when I'm not feeling the things that I have to say? When I don't feel as though I am exhibit A of what I would like the people in the pews down there to learn? It just has helped me so much. I felt ashamed of yielding to personal trouble, he says, when the truths of God were all about me, although I could not feel them. Might not some hungry soul go away without being satisfied, because I was faint and downhearted? I confess I had a desire likewise to avoid giving rise to speculation and talk about myself, a desire which, although not wrong, could neither have strengthened me to speak the truth nor have justified me in making the attempt. What was to be done? All at once the remembrance crossed my mind of a sermon I had preached before upon the words of St. Paul. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? A subject suggested by the fact that on the preceding Sunday I had especially felt in preaching to my people that I was exhorting myself, whose necessity was much greater than theirs. At least, I felt it to be greater than I could know theirs to be. And now the converse of the thought came to me. And I said to myself, might I not try the other way now, and preach to myself? In teaching myself, might I not teach others? Would it not hold? I am very troubled and faithless now. If I knew that God was going to lay the full weight of this grief upon me, yet if I loved him with all my heart, should I not at least be more quiet? There would not be a storm within me then, as if the Father had descended from the throne of the heavens and chaos were come again. Let me expostulate with myself in my heart, and the words of my expostulation will not be the less true with my people. All this passed through my mind as I sat in my study after breakfast, with the great old cedar roaring before my window. It was within an hour of church time. I took my Bible, read, and thought, got even some comfort already, and found myself in my vestry, not quite unwilling to read the prayers and speak to my people. There were very few present. The day was one of the worst, violently stormy, which harmonized somewhat with my feelings. And to my further relief, the hall, where the lady I loved usually sat, was empty. Instead of finding myself a mere minister to the prayers of others, I found, as I read, that my heart went out in crying to God for the divine presence of His Spirit. And if I thought more of myself in my prayers than was well, yet as soon as I was converted, would I not strengthen my brethren? And the sermon I preached to myself and through myself to my people was that which the stars had preached to me, and thereby driven me to my knees by the mill door. I took from my text, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." And then I proceeded to show them how the glory of the Lord was to be revealed. I preached to myself that throughout this 40th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah, the power of God is put side by side with the weakness of men. Not that he, the perfect, may glory over his feeble children. Not that he may say to them, "Look how mighty I am," and go down upon your knees and worship. For power alone was never yet worthy of prayer. But that he may say thus, "Look, my children, you will never be strong, but with my strength. I have no other to give you, and that you can get only by trusting in me. I cannot give it to you in any other way. There is no other way. But can you not trust in me? Look how strong I am. You wither like the grass. Do not fear. Let the grass wither. Lay hold of my word, that which I say to you out of my truth, and that will be life in you that the blowing of the wind that withers cannot reach. I am coming with my strong hand and my judging arm to do my work. And what is the work of my strong hand and ruling arm? To feed my flock like a shepherd, to gather the lambs with my arm and carry them in my bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. I have measured the waters in the hollow of my hand, and held the mountains in my scales, to give each his due weight, and all the nations, so strong and fearful in your eyes, are as nothing beside my strength and what I can do. Do not think of me as an image that your hands can make, a thing you can choose to serve, and for which you can do things to win its favor. I am before and above the earth, and over your life, and your oppressors I will wither with my breath. I come to you with help. I need no worship from you, but I say, love me. For love is life, and I love you. Look at the stars I have made. Every one of them. I know every one of them. Not one goes wrong, because I keep him right. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? I give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, plenty of strength. You realize that what I'm reading here is the sermon preached by the Scottish pastor in George MacDonald's book, Annals of a Quiet Neighborhood. But the burden of that sermon so far can be found in Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. It's a wonderful chapter. Read it. Begins with comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because of the breath of the Lord blows on them. And so this young pastor goes on to say, God brings his strength to destroy our weakness by making us strong. God brings his strength to destroy our weakness by making us strong. This is a God indeed. Shall we not trust him? I gave my people this paraphrase of the chapter to help them to see the meanings which their familiarity with the words and their non-familiarity with the modes of Eastern thought and the forms of Eastern expression would unite to prevent them from catching more than broken glimmerings of. And then I tried to show them that it was in the commonest troubles of life, as well as in the spiritual fears and perplexities that came upon them, that they were to trust in God. For God made the outside as well as the inside, and they altogether belonged to Him. And that when outside things, are you listening now? Such as pain, loss of work, difficulty in getting money, were referred to God and His will, they too straightway become spiritual affairs. For nothing in the world could any longer appear common or unclean to the man who saw God in everything. But I told them they must not be too anxious to be delivered from that which troubled them, but they ought to be anxious to have the presence of God with them to support them and make them able in patience to possess their souls. And so the trouble would work its end, the purification of their minds, that the light and gladness of God and all His earth, which the pure in heart and the meek alone could inherit, might shine in upon them. And then I repeated to them this portion of a prayer out of one of Sir Philip Sidney's books. Lord, I give You my will, and I joyfully accept the sorrow that You have me suffer. I only ask this much of You, Lord, that in my greatest affliction I may give myself to You, and that You will allow some small light of Your majesty to shine in my mind so that it may depend totally upon You.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.